Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
In this episode 43, let's talk about tattoos, rap, and a vagabond minister. You'll hear if you just sit back and...
One, two, three, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, for a special Shoot the Shiitake as I speak with Bob Lefsneski, also known as Righteous B. He is a rapper. He is a completely tatted up vagabond minister. In fact, at one point he started what was called Dirty Vagabond Ministry, and he'd go around traveling around the country and around the world basically with his almost Eminem quality style rap, because he's this big, tall, white guy, but he has some rhythm and he's got some rhymes, and he basically breaks it out for the inner city kids in the Steubenville and Pittsburgh area, and he's made quite a splash that now Vagabond Missions is helping kids just one relationship at a time. And so in this episode, we're going to talk about the hip-hop culture, because some people hate it. My gosh, if you even just start to play a funky beat, people just go berserk because they automatically associate it to a particular type of culture. So, yep, we're even going to talk about racism. But could you imagine doing rap at mass or at a church or at a Catholic conference? Well, guess what? That's exactly what happens. And we're going to hear how God in his incarnation really wants to turn this temple of the Holy Spirit, this body, into a magnificent instrument to proclaim God's message to all people, no matter where they are, no matter what color they are. And in Bob's case, he's pretty darn colorful because of all the tattoos. So there's my amuse-bouche and my introduction for an incredibly fun but also insightful deep dish discussion with Righteous B, aka Bob Lefsneski, and the founder of Vagabond Missions. We'll be back in just a moment. This episode is brought to you by SelectInternationalTours.com, where they have passion for pilgrimages and compassion for the pilgrim. And I'll be going with them on 4 different tours this year. I'll be going to Sicily, Malta, and the Amalfi Coast. I'll also be going to Jordan and Israel. I'll be leading a pilgrimage and spiritual retreat in the country of Croatia and especially Medjugorje. And I'll even be going on a Danube River cruise. So if you want to join me for this fantastic opportunity of food, faith, family, and of course, a lot of fun, then just simply reach out at selectinternationaltours.com or call 800-842-4842. That's 800-842-4842. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, and I have got a deep dish discussion with someone who is very similar in that he is a Catholic, but he is also extremely different from who I am because he's a big, tall, white guy with a big, bushy beard, and he is completely tatted up. You already know who he is, and it was great. I don't know how to call you Righteous B.
Whatever you want.
What do you want me to call you?
Bob.
Bob, all right. Bob, first of all, thanks for being on the show, and let's just jump right into it. What do you do? I mean, like, people know you as Righteous B, but what do you do?
I mean, so I definitely did hip hop stuff, and you know, that was a big part of my life for a while. But I think as I got older and balder and bow-legged and, you know, I just felt like, you know, not as relevant with the hip-hop. I mean, I still definitely do enough hip-hop stuff, you know.
But that's your brand.
Yeah, and I like it. It's fun. But I feel like, you know, more so now, I've kind of invested my life more into, I got like this inner city.
So tell us about ministry. Vagabond Mission.
Vagabond
ministry?
Missions. Yeah. So yeah, what we do, man, is we're passionate about the incarnation. Like if there's anything we're passionate about, just the fact that God became one of us and just spent time with people, you know,
when did it start?
12 years ago.
And what was your mission when you started 12 years ago?
Yeah, just this idea that, you know, God above everything else is just relational. He hung out.
Yep.
Like, you know, for 33rds, you know, if he did a fraction of his life, he really just did things like ate and hang out and talked and...
Yeah, a lot of people confuse evangelization with catechesis.
Yeah, right.
That's a big word. And I know for even our non-Catholics, basically it's, did Jesus come to teach people? Yeah, but he... did it just by hanging out with people.
Exactly.
So is that what Vagabond Mission does?
That's it, man. That's it. You know, like we set up shop in a city. Our missionaries, our staff live in solidarity, live among the people they're ministering with or ministering to. And yeah, they do normal things. They hang out, they eat. You know, we grill on the sidewalk.
Where does the mission or the ministry or the Jesus part come into play?
Yeah, sure. So like really we feel like once we've built a friendship, you know, that friendship would eventually turn into, you know, something where we're walking with them, mentoring them and discipling them, you know. So, you know, it starts with, I think the introduction to God happens over conversation, you know.
But that's not your lead.
But no, it's not our lead. You know, sure. Sometimes like, you know, I introduced you to a guy that was in the ministry for a long time earlier today. You know, Quentin, he was a part of the ministry for 6 years before he ever like talked about God. You know, we would talk about it, but he didn't want anything to do with it, you know, and that was, sure. That was all right. You know, we loved him anyway. He was a lot of fun. He'd come down to our building every day and dance. We have loud hip hop music, you know, every day after school. So he would come down there with his buddies and they would dance and they would eat hamburgers.
Dude, you're a big, tall, white guy.
Yeah, man.
I mean, but in a way, so is Vanilla Ice and look at him. Yeah. And look at Eminem and look at him. But so you're kind of that in a Catholic way. I mean, tell me about Catholic hip hop, because a lot of people would just honestly poop their pants if they said, are you kidding me? This guy is a minister. So do you see yourself as one?
Yeah, I mean, I think so in the sense that, you know, the mission is, you know, I want to share Jesus, but I want to do it in a way that's authentic for me. And what's authentic for me is I love hip hop, you know, like,
sure.
And so I think it goes beyond white and black. And, you know, like that's kind of one of the things like I really love about hip hop is that, especially modern hip hop, you know, like, you know, back when you think of the 70s, the 80s, you know, like it was very much
black,
just black,
yeah.
You know, and that was okay. You know, it was like, I think hip hop in a way was a lot like jazz. Like it was a voice for.
Can you maybe explain to some of our listeners what exactly is hip hop culture?
Sure. So hip hop culture like has a couple parts to it. You know, like the music, which is rap. You know, sometimes people call rap and hip hop interchangeably, but like rap would maybe could be a little bit less melodic. Hip hop, you know, I think it involves, you know, there's a lot of like pop and stuff like that. But the other elements of hip hop would be breakdancing.
Were you a breakdancer?
Graffiti. No, I never was, man. I know that you can do it.
I used to be able to do it.
I love it. I love, like, it's one of the ways that I feel like it's a language that these kids I work with speak.
Sure.
So I encourage it. I love it. Whenever I can, when I'm doing a concert, I bring one or a couple of them with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I let them show their talent because it's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
But yeah, so that graffiti and then clothes.
And clothes. Okay, so hip hop, which is rap. Obviously, the breakdancing, the graffiti, and clothes.
And
tell me about the clothes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, really, I think it's funny. You know, you see urban culture, it's really the heart of the body when it comes to culture, I think. You know, like,
sure.
And there's been a lot more blurred lines, I think, in recent, like, urban culture. You know, you see where I think back in the 90s or something, you think of a very stereotypical,
sure.
You know, this is how black people dress, this is how white people dress. And now
it's hipsters.
A lot of, yeah, like hipsters and even hip hop stuff, wears like skinny jeans. And,
sure.
You know, it's just kind of
it is kind of ubiquitous. It changes over time. But one thing that does remain is that people are critical of the hip hop scene because it is sometimes associated with drugs, with violence, with gangs, with just the worst of everything.
Yeah.
Tell me about that and your thoughts on that.
I honestly, like, it's kind of a little bit of a beef that I have sometimes with people.
Do it. Because let us know.
I think there could be a subtle racism with hip hop because, you know, sometimes you hear a beat and I see people, you know, grimace or, you know, what is that? Or, you know, what is, honestly, even sometimes I'm doing a sound check or something.
Sure.
I see some people, oh, what is this? You know, what are they playing at this thing? And they have these things associated with it with, yeah, you know, like the, and I obviously there can be really bad, poor quality. There could be very vulgar hip hop and all that kind
of
stuff.
Sure, of course.
You know, there's plenty of rock and roll and Southern rock that's talking about horrible things and smoking marijuana and drinking, but it's just related with like good old boy music. And, you know, we just put this on and fish and drink. And
do you think that maybe that the criticism that people have, because I perfectly like hip hop too, and there's a time and a place for it. And the big struggle that people have is how does it mesh with your Catholic faith?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that anything could, you know, like one of the quotes that's been a big motivator in my life is Saint JP2, you know, he said, if the church holds back from culture, then the gospel falls silent.
Tell me about that.
And I love that. You know, it's basically what it's saying is that, like, look, you know, if God is God and he wants to move in a real way, like I was talking about with Vagabond Missions, you know, in normal things, then he wants to move not just, you know, in an hour on Sunday in church. Like, he wants to move through cultural things like music, art, clothes, food, you know, like all these things. And so it doesn't really matter, like, whether we, you know, do faith in hip hop or not. If we don't, someone else is just going to use it as a voice. You know, art, I feel like, could always be a beautiful thing because it's something that, you know, like, you create. It's something that you show and you speak a voice into. And so with hip hop, I feel like I think it makes total sense to, you know, to be able to say, hey, this is something I'm passionate about. I'm going to share God through this medium.
Does it come across as corny for other hip hop artists? You know, like, don't you be forcing that Christianity stuff in this? This is street music.
I mean, I hope not. I think that there are a lot of, like I said, I think walls have come down a lot.
Okay.
I think probably there would have been a time where that was more so the case. I'm sure there's people that, you know, that still think what I do or what I did was corny, you know, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I would never, like, go out there and claim, like, hey, I'm the hardest, toughest guy out there and I spit fire everything I do on the microphone, you know, but, you know, I feel like I've had lots of kids come up to me after concerts. They're like, man, I heard that there was going to be this Catholic rapper and we were all making fun of you all week. And it was, you know, they're like, but dude, it was awesome. You know? So it's cool. Like, you know, when I feel like when someone ends up, you know, they have a good time.
Yeah. And they actually see you as legitimate.
Right. And that's what I feel like, you know, if with hip hop, like if you could, you know, especially put on a good show and you're having a good time with the crowd and, you know, and you're a decent rapper. I mean, it's, I feel like you have, you know, you kind of have the crowd, you know, but.
So what do you do then to kind of spread the news? You are the founder of Vagabond. It was at one point Dirty Vagabond Ministries,
right?
Yeah. And now you've kind of recently changed the brand to Vagabond Missions.
Right.
And so you started that. You are also a international speaker. You're traveling around the world speaking. Mm. And it's through kind of like your brand as a hip hop artist.
Sure, sure.
So what exactly do you do and say?
Yeah, sure. So honestly, most of the time when I go somewhere, I'll do a little bit of hip hop and a little bit of speaking.
Okay.
And I think my flavor, you know, my brand of how I bring it is, like I said, I try and like keep it authentic to me as I can, you know, and.
Where did this all come from? How did it all start?
I had someone in my life when I was in high school who was really influenced me. They were a great mentor in my life. And I remember thinking, like, dude, if I could touch someone like that, it'd be so much fun.
Was he a youth minister or something?
Yeah, okay. He was a youth minister. He was a speaker. And he just seemed so holy and cool and real, you know, so that in the back of my mind, I always thought, like, I would love to mentor and make that kind of influence on people in my life. But really, it was after I got married. I got married the night I graduated college. And then, you know, are you kidding me? No, yeah. I had a final the day before I got married. And we got married 9 months. And one day later, we had our first kid.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, in among that whirlwind, like, we moved to New York and took a job at a little church there and
as a
youth minister.
As a youth minister.
Okay. I didn't know it was inner city, to be honest. I didn't want anything to do with it. It wasn't what I was like setting out to do. I was duped, you know, by God, I think. Because there was this pastor who hired us, you know, he was 73 years old. And I just thought he didn't know what he was talking about. He was a sweet, sweet guy, best boss I ever had.
Uh-huh.
And but he said, it's inner city around here. We're like, we didn't see any kids. It was just a sea of white heads at mass. And but then that we fell in love like with these kids, these inner city kids.
Sure.
Partly because they are so real, you know, partly because, you know, they were kind of vulgar and tough and rough on the outside, but like they were real and we were experiencing lots of really cool conversion.
You know? Don Bosco said the same thing, you know, get past the roughness. You see an amazing amount of beauty in their rusticity, so to speak.
Totally, yeah.
And so you start off as a youth minister and then you produced your first album when?
Just a couple of years into being at that spot.
But were you
there
rapping that time too,
yeah,
like before
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I had done some music, you know, like in college and afterwards I did some things on some other people's albums, sing and stuff like that. But I saw these kids one day downtown. They had like a beat machine, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
it was basically
sure
like a sampler and they were doing stuff and they were rapping over top of it. And I fell in love. I was just, I've always liked, you know, everyone secretly likes rap, I think, you know, there's that part of you that like, you know,
wants to poetry
turn it on. Yeah, yeah, you turn that on in your car and you feel, oh yeah, you're feeling it.
Absolutely.
You know? And
don't bring up the Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, but that's what I mean. Everyone's got their go-to, like you put that on,
sure,
you're getting dressed or doing whatever. And so it was kind of like this moving experience. And so I begged my wife, you know, my newlywed pregnant wife, I was like, dude, please get me one of these beat machines for my birthday. And I'd ask her every day. So she got one. And then, you know, she was pregnant, so she'd go to bed early and I would go down to the basement and, you know, to the lab. And I had this little beat machine and I would, you know, sample stuff. And I made this whole first album in my basement and it was so much fun. But the thing that was cool was like, it really did
resonated
well with
yeah
the kids, you know, like, I mean, I just feel like it was, and I don't know, man, today, if I feel like, I don't know, you know, maybe 20 years ago, it was a little easier to stand out as like, I feel like there was a lot less cool stuff in the church, man. Like,
a lot.
You know, like
there was
yeah,
nothing.
Like you would go to something. And
it was CYO.
Yeah. And you would be like the coolest thing that, oh dude, we've never seen anything like you in the church. And you're like, well.
And probably freaked a lot of people out at
yeah,
the same
oh, yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, because you have a look to you, which we're going to actually be talking about when we come back from a break. You don't come across as a minister. Mm. But that's what's in your heart.
Yeah.
And so I just want to ask you real quick before we take a break.
Yeah.
When was your like, I love Jesus and I want to work for him moment?
Probably at the end of high school.
Oh gosh. Then you were young.
Yeah, I was young.
But you kind of keep your youthfulness, which is exactly what we're going to talk about. When we come back to Shoot the Shiitake, you got Righteous B, Bob Levsneski. We'll be back in just a moment. People are always asking me, when can I watch my TV show? And basically, it's on EWTN each week with new episodes coming all the time. So all you've got to do is just go to EWTN.com/Savoring Our Faith, and you can find out when my TV show, Savoring Our Faith, is going to be playing and perhaps even filming in a city near you. But you can also learn more by just signing up for my weekly email blast at fatherleofeeds.com and make sure you're watching Savoring Our Faith on EWTN.com/Savoring Our Faith. And welcome back for part two of our deep dish discussion. We've got Righteous B, Bob Levsneski. I heard
what
about
up?
You. Thank you. I was hoping you would say something kind of, and I say ghetto, that's not a negative term,
no,
all right?
I know.
But like, I remember finding you when I was newly ordained and as a priest. Because what year did you kind of get started in all of this?
Like 2001.
Yeah. Okay. So I was ordained in 1999.
Okay.
Come back to America after, you know, 6 years in Italy.
Yeah.
And I was immediately kind of brought into the whole Steubenville world,
sure.
Steubenville University. And then I get your CD that someone gives to me because people knew I was a break dancer.
Yeah,
they says,
yeah,
you
yeah
got to hear this guy's rapping. And I'm thinking, dude, he's got some deaf beats going on up in here. But I never met you. And when I met you, you were not what I was expecting. And I was actually very pleasantly surprised. You have how many children?
I got 7 children. Yeah, for better or for worse.
Okay. And you've got 7 children. You've got an amazingly, not only understanding, but pretty cool wife.
Yeah, she's really cool.
She is very cool. And more importantly, you have a unique approach to ministry. And I want to talk about that because a lot of people judge the book by the cover. And I want to get a little into the to who you are and your brand.
Sure.
As I'm looking at you now, you've got some ripped jeans, skinny jeans. You got a pink t-shirt. I guess it's, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, maybe. I don't know. And you're tatted, like from your tips to your finger, probably all over.
Yeah, man, I got them peeking everywhere.
I see them peeking out. I see them peeking out of your thing.
The goal is when they bury me, man, that, you know, they can bury me just in some underwear and be fully tattooed, you know.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, man. Heck yeah, I told my wife, bury me in my underwear.
So just, you're not kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. No, I'm not.
So let's talk about tattoos and almost a spirituality, almost a Catholicism.
What
is it all about? Give me your philosophy, no judgment.
Sure. It's good, the no judgment disclaimer, because there's definitely a lot of times that I have had people, you know, give me flack, or I mean, honestly, a lot of times it's not to my face, it's an email or it's a comment on a video I did or something.
Absolutely.
And I get it. I really do get that you can make a case for like, oh, look, tattoos are weird or you shouldn't get them.
What do they talk about it? It would be kind of like a disfiguring.
They'd say, oh, you're the body's the temple. You're disfiguring the temple.
Sure.
What about these scriptures? That's the other, like that. That's where I feel like I do kind of come unhinged a little bit when they start like giving me like Leviticus quotes, because I feel like, I mean, they'll be like, you shouldn't tattoo, you know, but like in the same book, like they're, you know, if a woman is menstruating, like tied to a tree and, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, it's like people love to pick and choose their scripture passages. Exactly. But for you, what's your philosophy?
Yeah, so for me, I love tattoos. I love.
When did you like it?
You know, I probably in college, I started liking
it. So, and you went to Steubenville University, Franciscan University, right? Steubenville, Ohio, which, by the way, is the location where they send out speakers and presenters and musicians around the country and the world, evangelizing thousands of kids every weekend. You're one of the speaking members, and I am too, gratefully. Mm-hmm. That's how we met. Yeah. I saw you completely tatted up, and I'm like, dude, I got to figure this out. What's going on here? So you got into it in college?
Yeah, so, and then, I've always really been a fan of art. I love, always been like a doodler and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's always that part of you, I think, you know, that you're like, oh, a tattoo's kind of cool, but I don't think I would get one. And then, so my very first tattoo was my grandfather's name. And
really?
Yeah, he, as a kid, man, you know, so he was in World War II. And he stormed Normandy, man. So he was like.
He was a badass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. As a kid, like I remember seeing on his forearm, there was this American Eagle tattoo. It was just looked like hell, you know, and it's just all worn out. You couldn't, it was just a black blob. The ink was so bad, you know, back then.
Sure.
And I remember touching it and he'd be like, oh, I got that in the war. And, you know,
he was embarrassed by it or proud of it?
He just was like, oh, you know, I was just whatever. You know, he just didn't talk about the war. He didn't talk about tattoo, you know, but
real quick, Bob, did you grow up in an intact family?
Kind of. It started off and then it blew up, man. My dad left and kind of.
But your grandfather obviously made an impact.
My grandfather was a huge father figure
in
me and my two brothers' life. And so that was our pact we made, was like when we all get old enough, let's go get grandpa's name together. You know?
Oh, okay. That's kind of touching, actually.
Yeah, it was really cool because right before he died, we were able to show it to him. All three of us, we have a picture with him. And, so anyway, but I remember when the lady was doing my tattoo and she said, you know, she's like, oh, you know, these can be kind of addicting. I, you know, you might come back. And I was like, nah, I think I'm a one tattoo kind of guy. And, you know, and so here I am, whatever, 15, 20 years later. And yeah, I'm covered. But I really do love.
I'm just going to ask.
Yeah.
You're covered.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously some sensitive parts of my body that are not covered, thank God. But everywhere else. You know,
because like I've actually talked to tattooed people and every part of their body has been kind of marked.
Yeah. I mean,
that's not you.
Yeah, no, not on the
lovemaking
private parts. Yeah. I think my wife would draw a line there, you know.
What does she say about them?
She loves them. Now, she has a good number, too.
Like, does she really?
She has some on her neck and some her arms. I mean, she's kind of, I think, like, when you're in love with someone, like, you know, you come to love the things they love, you know?
So sure, of course.
I don't think if she didn't marry me, she probably never would have got tattoos, but she came to love it too, you know? Mm-hmm. There's a certain
art. It is addictive?
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, there's definitely some endorphins release, you know, when you're, you know, you come out of getting a tattoo, like you feel like you want to fight, you know? Like, because you really do. Like,
have you ever gotten into a fight?
You're kind of sore. What's that?
Have you gotten to fights?
I've gotten beat in fights before, yeah, you know? But even that, when you get beat in a fight, to sure, me, like I remember the first time I just got smashed in the face. Yeah, you feel kind of like, man, I didn't die. And I feel tough. It's the same way like with a tattoo, you know? Like your endorphins are going. But I think for me, like for someone who has a lot, I think like you fall in love with the specifics of the art. And for me, the kind of like mm-hmm. called American traditional.
That's so, your style?
Yeah, like old timey Americana, you know, the sailor tattoos, you know?
Sure.
And
yeah, because there's not a lot of color on these. Right, I mean, it doesn't look like black, vivid anything. It's right. kind of like bluish black, right?
Right, 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 right. And
like
and
your grandfather's.
Right, yep. And they're known for just thick, bold lines and not a lot of, you know, shading.
So when you started getting these, what did your family say?
I mean, the first couple, my mom cried. I remember she hated it. I even got a little mom heart for her. And
where is that
hand, on my hand right there?
Okay, know, I do see mom. It. Yep,
and
that wasn't good enough for her.
Yeah, no, that's still she still yeah. So she cried the first couple, and then she stopped crying, and you know, just rolls her eyes. I think she's always that's Bobby. He's now, always up to
with,
something.
With tats
stupid.
Comes also the piercings and stuff like that too.
Yeah, I mean, I've always, you know what? I had both my ears pierced since I was in ninth grade. You know?
Okay.
I remember I went to get my ears pierced to piss off my dad. I just wanted to make him, like, you know, I wanted to make him notice. I wanted to make him mad. And
well, that's what teenagers do.
Exactly. And he didn't even notice, dude, you know?
So like it's interesting. You got that to kind of anger somebody. You got the tattoo to honor somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And now the rest is just because you're addicted to
it. Yeah, now I just love him. You know, and they tell a story, you know? Like, if I always say, like, you know, if your body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is like the stained glass.
So what do you say to people whose parents come up to you and they like, my kid wants to get a tattoo because of you? Yeah.
Well, I always tell them, okay, so first of all, I you can tell your kid, I did not get any tattoos before I was 18, you know?
Okay.
So, you know, that way your kid's not sneaking off, getting a tattoo, all right? At that point, like really it does become their decision, but It is not an intrinsically evil thing. And like I said, I go back to that quote from Pope John Paul II, you know, or talk about like, you know, the church embraces culture and tattoos, like so many other cultural things it's subjective. Like, so for instance, you know, like we pierce our ears here and that's accepted in the United States.
Now.
Sure, sure. But you
know,
I mean,
remember at one point. Well, I mean, you might not even know it, but at one point, because I'm older than you.
Yeah, if you get like one ear pierced.
It was up the left.
Right, the left.
Left is right, right is wrong.
Right. And it's just so stupid, you know. But even just thinking of a woman getting two ear, like, you know, both her ears pierced.
Sure.
That's accepted here. Well, in Africa, you know, they stretch their lip out or they put these things, you know, well, we could look at that and be like, well, we shouldn't do that because that's weird, you know. But it's just weird for us, you know. Well, what about... So, you know, you could put a hole in your ear. What about putting two holes in your ear? What about putting 10 holes in your ear?
Sure.
What about putting a hole
in
your
face?
Like at some point, it's just mincing, you know, things.
For me, when I look at this, Bob, I'm looking at this and thinking, Jesus became all things, like man and all things but sin. Mm-hmm. And you are trying to become all things to the people that you're closely connected to and not sin. So you could be just tatting up, but not be something sinful. Sure.
And I can't tell you how many times I've been in the hood, you know, like, and people come up and they're like, yo, either like, man, I love the tattoos, you know, and they'll start talking. And I actually have a lot, like this whole arm is like Peter's conversion, you know, Duke and Altum, you know, so there's a lot that are scriptural, you know, but
you're kind of like a walking cathedral. Remember at one point, all the artwork was the scriptures.
There we go, right? I had this guy, just 2 weeks ago, I was in line checking out at the food store and he was like, hey, can I just ask you real quick? He's like, what do you do for a living? He's like, cause I can't figure it out. He's like, I've been looking at your tattoos. He's like, none of them seem angry or like weird. And you look like well-dressed, you know, so I can tell you have a job. He's like, I just can't put my finger on like who you, and it was like such a compliment, you know, it was kind of cool because I was like, well, I work I do ministry, you know? And he was like, wow. He's like, I'm
a Catholic speaker.
He's like, I never would have thought you were, you know, because down in the hood, I'm a pastor, you know, because.
Oh, yeah, they call you pastor down there. Sure, sure, sure.
Pastor Bob or whatever. Pastor. You know, I know, it's hilarious. It's so funny. But like, you know, like they never would have like thought that. But that's kind of what's cool, man, is you just think like, man, God. Yeah, all things, all people. Like, God wants to step into everything. You know sure. what I mean? Like, so.
So what's next for you, Bob? I mean, you've got, I mean.
Die.
Yeah, but I mean, you've had some real successes. Mm. I mean, again, people know who you are. You've got some albums that have gone out. You know, obviously, you're a host for these conferences, and you get out there, and people go berserk. They love you. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I
then tell us about Vagabond Ministries.
Yeah, sure, missions. Sure. Yeah, so Vagabond Missions, I was just going to say, like, that's probably my heart.
Yeah.
Is like walking and mentoring, you know, guys like Quentin, who you met earlier.
I got to probably try to get him on, maybe learning from leftovers.
It'd be awesome because he's got a heck of a story. Okay. You know? But I love that, you know, just this idea of really walking with someone, you know, for the long term, you know, for 10, you know, 15 years, you mm-hmm, know, that, mm-hmm. that you're with someone in their life and their day to day. And I really like when I'm able to put them on the stage and let people hear their story or hear their talents, you know, because honestly, a lot of them are just way more talented than I would be as far as hip hop goes, you know.
Sure.
But they just never had an
opportunity.
A voice. Yeah. One time I remember a couple of years ago, I had a concert for NCYC and it was in that Luke Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. And and that morning, you know, I picked these six boys up from the projects. And, you know, that night, you know, they were on this main stage in this stadium, you know, and I remember during the sound check, them just looking around at all these lights. And it was the most, you know, stark contrast, you know, that here they are, that no one knows their name, cares about them, you know, don't even have adults in their life that care about them back home, the projects. Wow. And here they are, people screaming and, you know, taking picture and all this kind of stuff. Wow. But that's what's one of the things that I really love is being able to kind of share and give them an opportunity to share their voice and their talents, you know.
So I'm just going to ask you one last question before we leave. Yeah. How can I be a better priest for you, man?
Mm. Man, I'm so, so thankful for guys like you that are being a priest right now because you're under so much. It's a tough time to be a priest, man. Honestly, I every friend of mine like you that's a priest, I try and like be like, dude, thank you. Thank you for being a priest.
That's not what I asked you.
I know. But here's where I'm going with that, man. Just to be real. And that's one thing I really love about you. I mean, I think that, you know, probably a lot of people do is just continue to be real, be approachable. You know, that to me, that's my favorite thing about Jesus is like, you're like, man, he was approachable, you know? And that is one thing that I think a lot of people feel like God isn't today. So yeah, it's continue to be approachable.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Levsnesky, also known as Righteous B or Pastor Bob. Do check out Vagabond Missions. They're doing amazing things. The Diocese of Pittsburgh just granted them a lot of support so that they can open up more homes so that there can be more people just being companions, walking with inner city young people who might not have an opportunity. So do check them out. Support them if you can. Learn about Bob's stuff. Get his old CDs. They're really CDs.
I know, right?
Cassette tapes.
Who knows what that is anymore.
No, do download his music and just check out all about him. And hopefully I'll try to get Quentin, the young man that you brought along, and have him on as part of a Learning from Leftovers. But, you know, we are very different, but obviously we've got so much in common, which is why even though you are so different from me in many ways, and you can definitely check out his picture on our Shoot the Shiitake page, we're definitely brothers in Christ. So, Bob, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, man.
And I'll be back with my carryout order in just a moment here on Shoot the Shiitake. We hope you're enjoying this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake. And this week for our premium subscribers, people who support our cause with $10 or more each month, they're going to be getting delivered in their mailbox the conversation that I had with Quentin, one of the recipients of the support that Vagabond Missions provides for inner city youth. So please support us and bring about conversions, one conversation at a time. And you can support us at shoottheshiitake.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for our carry-out order after talking with Bob Levsnesky, Righteous B. It's just great to be able to have friends like that, people who are incredibly different from me, but at the same time, we're all on the same team. And I hope you heard towards the end of the conversation that I have a great respect and sincere appreciation for who he is and what he does. And I know there's going to be a lot of people, especially traditionalists, Catholics, who don't like that at all because they would rather see somebody in a coat and tie rather than a t-shirt, jeans, and tattoos. And of course, now with a scruffy beard, I have no idea. Everyone kind of goes through their own little renewals of their look, so to speak. We're all evolving. I haven't changed too much, gained a little bit of weight, hope to lose that. I still have most of my hair, but I don't have any tattoos. And so when he talked about how tattoos tell a story, I just have to ask myself, what story do I tell with my body? Well, my body is telling me, you're eating too much pasta. But what I really loved about this conversation was how real it is and just how, I hate to use this phrase, but how big the church is. You know, we have all types of people. I mean, if you just take a look at the religious orders and you see the type of outfits that they have on, they are very diverse and they all have very unique charism. And that's the word I want you to focus on. Because when I meet people like Bob, I don't automatically think of him as a Catholic minister, much less a good Catholic. Because in a way, the Catholic Church has led the charge with this idea of sinfulness when we, quote unquote, mutilate the body. And yes, we're talking about tattoos. Is that a form of mutilation? I think it could be, especially if you put types of tattoos on your body that show a more mutilated spirituality. But everything that he had on him was all like religious. I mean, he kind of looked like a walking bookshop, or at least holy cards that were plastered to his body. But what he talked about early on in our conversation was a theological reality called the incarnation. And the incarnation is incredibly important. And here's why. Because it says that God came out of heaven and became one of us in all things. Now, here's the key. In all things except sin. So could you drink alcohol and do it in a non-sinful way? Could you engage in a sexual relationship with someone in a non-sinful way? Could you get a tattoo and be a rapper, an artist, in a non-sinful way? That's the key, to be able to understand that our bodies are very different, and yeah, every person is unique, and therefore maybe Bob's charism, his calling, so to speak, or the gift that he has been given, and he said it very early on when he was in New York City, he just kind of fell in love with kind of the inner city youth. And why is this helpful to the church? Well, because guess what? A lot of the inner city youth do not feel loved. They just don't. And if I were to try to, quote unquote, show my love for them, you know, dressed in my Roman collar and such, yeah, they might respect me, but they might not fully be able to relate to me. And that's a big deal about the incarnation, because Jesus, therefore, who is God, was able to relate to everyone and anyone, from the most pious people, including the old woman willing to give just 2 coins in the offertory, to the most pompous person who Jesus called out, namely the scribes, Pharisees, and high priests. And he was also able to relate to the vagabonds, which is a really great name, by the way, for his missions, vagabondmissions.com. But Jesus was able to relate to them. Now, again, he was able to relate to them in all things but sin. And I think that Bob brought it up, that one of the things that people do when they hear a funky rap beat, or if they see someone with tattoos, they actually begin to prejudge, which is obviously the same root word as prejudice, which can sometimes be tied to judging people by their skin color, racism. And it is clear, you know, he works with a lot of inner city black youth. And that's great, because there's not a lot of Catholics out there who do that. I know a priest who is black. He doesn't want to work with the inner city youth who are also black. And so even though he has the same skin color, he doesn't relate to these kids. He just doesn't. But Bob does. So I'm not here to make you like Bob. I'm just here to tell you that I learned a lot from him. And there was a couple things that really, he mentioned to me that I actually had to take to prayer. And one was how he is going to be buried. Because he said he wanted to be buried in his underwear. That is a horrible thought. But I mean, not for him. He was very serious. He wants to be buried in his underwear because he wants to be basically covered with tattoos. So when people walk by and see him, that's what they're going to see. Tattoos. I want to be buried in my Roman collar and holding a rosary. And hopefully they make me look a little, I don't know, better than I sometimes do, especially when I'm traveling. But it just made me think, when we die, because we all are going to die, how are people going to view our bodies? And this is important. Why? Because, again, Jesus took on flesh and dwelt among us. And therefore, we and our bodies have a mission. We have a mission and we have a sense of calling and duty to proclaim God's news with our bodies. There was another thing that he kind of mentioned, and this has to do again with how we come across. He said, you know, when he was starting off, many people didn't take him seriously as a minister, but he is. And here's why I can call Bob a minister. Technically, you're only called to be a minister if you're ordained or if you're instituted in a particular mission recognized by the church. And Bob is officially a minister. He's not ordained. He's not an instituted acolyte or anything like that, but he is truly a minister for several reasons. One is because he does something very publicly in the name of the church. Secondly, he has experienced formation and goes through ongoing formation. He's continuing to learn how to improve. Thirdly, he's kind of supported by his local bishop. In fact, Vagabond Missions just received a tremendous amount of support from the Diocese of Pittsburgh because of the amazing work that he does for that sector of society that sometimes the Catholic Church is difficult to have a relationship with. So I just think that if we were to ask ourselves what a minister look like, well, I'm going to ask you to look in the mirror. Do you see a minister in you? Because that's exactly what you're called to be. And the final thing that I took away was, you know, you're going to be hearing from Quentin if you are a premium subscriber. He's a young man who Bob was traveling with. I saw him at a conference. We were both the keynote speakers for this high school thing. And I saw Bob with this guy named Quentin, who's this African-American kid. And, you know, he's a rapper, he's a dancer, but he also wants to be he's kind of like an entrepreneur in a way. He's just basically a fashion entrepreneur. And I just saw in them something very unique. They're like brothers. I mean, they literally act like brothers. Here's this big, tall white guy, and here's this, you know, other tall black guy. And just to see them, the way they interacted, maybe not like brothers, maybe it was like uncle and nephew or cousins. But there was definitely a paternal and sonship quality there that really was quite touching. And here's the key, that the thing that Vagabond Missions does is they just develop relationships with people. That's it. Just to develop relationships with people. And it's kind of hard to develop relationships with people who are different from us. I mean, ask yourself, if you don't have tattoos, how many people do you know have tattoos and are you good friends with them? I generally do have a lot of friends who have tattoos. I don't have any, but the reason why I do have a relationship with them is because we have something in common. And that is, we're all made in the image and likeness of God. Some are just more artistically done than others, and others are more, I guess you would call it the traditional look, the original, you know? But these ideas of what does a minister look like? How do we want to be buried? And are we able to have a relationship with people who are different from us? You know, knowing that culture and art, these are very subjective things, but what we've got to do is get to the most important objective truth, that everyone is made in God's image and likeness, and our job is to become more like Jesus, who was sinless. And why? Because Jesus became more like us, humans, in all things, but sin. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Bob Lifsneski, Righteous Bee. Do look up his information and sign up for his social media, and you can always support vagabondmissions.com. And between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry. And we hope you enjoyed this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. And thank you to our sponsors today, SelectInternationalTours.com, learn about them and their passion for pilgrimages, and join me on one, and simply call 800-842-4842 or visit selectinternationaltours.com. And as always, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Encourage family, friends, parishioners, and priests to listen to this show at their favorite podcast platform, and make sure that you can support us and bring about conversions one conversation at a time. Learn more at shootthishiitake.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.